part of Jersey. Anyway, Paul DiFilippo is a science fiction writer who occasionally writes mysteries. Walter Mosley is a mystery writer who occasionally writes science fiction. You want a box? There's your box. The next month, I had Samuel R. Delaney and Sam J. Miller, and we called it Sam Enchanted Evening. You know, so there's your box, people named Sam. But because Roz Kaveny is coming to town for the Lambda Awards, which, by the way, in the past have been won by such people as Rick Bowes, a regular on this program, and a friend of mine who I've never had on the air and really hope to is nominated for a different award. Now, let's see. Roz, okay, let me read her bio. Roz is a poet, novelist, critic, and activist who works in publishing in London. She helped found Feminists Against Censorship and was the deputy chair of Liberty, which is the National Council for Civil Liberties. It's so well known, I guess, in England that she didn't, you know, I had to research that. Among her books are Reading the Vampire Slayer, Teen Dreams, the award-nominated fantasy novel Rhapsody of Blood, Rituals, and the Lambda Literary Awards finalist poetry collection Dialectic of the Flesh. She has received a second Lambda nomination for Tiny Pieces of Skull, which is a novel of trans life in the 1970s, which she wrote in the 80s and only managed to sell 28 years later. So that's Roz Kaveny. Robert Levy, a Brooklynite, doesn't live in London, is an author of stories and plays whose work has been seen off-Broadway. He is a Brooklyn native and Harvard graduate, subsequently trained as a forensic psychologist. His first novel, The Glittering World, which I really enjoyed, by the way, is a finalist for both the Lambda Literary Award in the science fiction fantasy horror category, as well as the Shirley Jackson Award. Shirley Jackson Award is just for horror or weird fiction. His shorter work has appeared in Shadows and Tall Trees, Black Static, and Autumn Cthulhu, among others. So these two people are both up for Lambda Awards. Thank you, powers that be, in different categories. So, and the awards will be the night before. They're on Monday night. This is happening Tuesday night. These two people aren't competing with each other. So, okay, we're going to have a Pride reading in Pride Month. So sue me. Just show up. It's going to be a great time. Admission is free. We ask for donations, but nobody will be turned away. And that's this Tuesday. Show up about 6:30 at 388 Atlantic Avenue at the Brooklyn Commons Cafe. Now, this is a secret, so don't tell anybody. If you can't make it, well, there's no good reason if you're in New York that you can't make it. But if you can't make it, if you're out of town or something like that, you can also go to either the Brooklyn Commons Facebook page and watch it there, watch it live, or you can go to livestream.com, click on watch, search for NYRSF, that's New York Review of Science Fiction, and you can see, oh, about 15 of the readings that we have done there, and you can watch this coming Tuesday live. But don't tell anybody that's a secret, because we want you to show up. And frankly, it's not the same thing to just watch the video. Although Terrence Taylor does a fabulous job as our videographer, and Rob Cameron is going to be starting to sort of intern for Terrence, learning the ropes, something I have to do as well. I haven't done much video. I've done a little, but we actually do a very professional job, thanks to Terrence. You know, we know title cards. We have three cameras. We're switching from one to the other and all that. And there have been wireless mic issues, so we've dealt with it very simply. We use wired mics. It's just a reading of people. But it's also a community. and we would like you there. So that's this coming Tuesday. No, wait. Is it this Tuesday? What am I saying? Today is the 26th. Okay, this can't. No, today is the 27th. Okay. Oh, well, I'm looking at the wrong bleeping month. No, it's not this coming Tuesday. This coming Tuesday is the 31st. It's a week from Tuesday. It's always the first Tuesday of every month. So it's a week from Tuesday, June 7th. June 7th is when you should be here. Show up next Tuesday. You know, BAI has events there all the time. Other people have events there all the time. Or just sit and have yourself a nice meal. It's a nice place. So we hope to see you then on June 7th, okay? It gets confusing. And then the next one after that won't be the first Tuesday in July. It'll be the second Tuesday in July because I don't want to do an event on the 5th of July. People are just coming off a holiday weekend and all that stuff. So, and on the 5th of July, you should be watching a Lanford Wilson play. Well, for those of you who know who Lanford Wilson is, you probably got that gag. Anyway, this is WBAI in New York City. As mentioned, at this point, we will have segued from what is normally Heart of Mind with Catherine Davis into what is normally, or perhaps abnormally, Hour of the Wolf, and I am that person who does that show here since 1972. That would be Jim Freund, and we have been asking you to pledge and to subscribe on the basis of the people of color in science fiction and fantasy, which has been a favorite topic of mine for a long time and is now becoming, well, a thing, as we are doing in Lightspeed magazine, the whole issue for June, special issue with guest editor Nalo Hopkins in there. Last 2 years, by the way, we won the Hugo Award for Best Semi-Prozine. We can't win that award this year because now it's a prozine. You have to have been in existence for a certain number of years, paying a certain amount, you know, minimum amount of money to the writers to be considered a prozine. So now that we have been doing it for 5 years, we're no longer a semi-prozine. So, can we win for prozine? No. Why? Because there's no prozine award. The Hugos, don't get me started. People tried to game them. You see, all it takes to vote for the Hugos is to become a member of Worldcon. And so there are groups of right-wingers, and many years back, a religious organization that, well, if you want to call Scientology a religion, an organization that in essence have tried to buy the Hugo Awards with slates and stuff like that, which resulted last year, by the way, in no award for many, many different categories. It's a shame. It's an absolute shame. Because there are good people who deserve those awards. What they did was they stuffed the ballot box, and it turned out that you only needed something like, you know, 5 or 6 ballots to become a nominee. Very low threshold there. And, well, the whole thing got screwed up. This year is better, but it's still not absolutely clean. But there's some very good stuff to vote for in the Hugo Awards. The Nebula Awards are a peer award. They don't have that problem because you have to be a member of Science Fiction Fantasy Writers of America in order to vote for that award. I'm an associate membership. I have an associate membership, which means I can nominate, but I cannot vote on the finalists. But it was interesting. I was very glad Mad Max Fury Road won the Ray Bradbury Award for Best Screenplay. I was pleased about that. Good people won all around. And more importantly, very good people, including Nora Jemison, were nominated this year. So we're pleased by that. We, as the royal we. No, it's all of us. It's you and me. Let's be inclusive here. So now we're into, you know, the more science fiction part of this morning's fundraising drive, and a little bit more laid back, but that doesn't excuse not pledging, not calling. Area code 516-620-3602, okay? 516-620-3602, or visit WBAI.org. Look for premiums and look for people of color in science fiction and fantasy with the Hour of the Wolf logo right next to it. And you'll get a spiffy CD with all kinds of excellent stuff on it. Or make that call or visit us on the web. Today is Towel Day. Actually, Wednesday was Towel Day. So right now, if you're listening in California, which you might very well be, given the internet and all those capabilities, it's still Towel Day. It's last 24 hours, and as long as there's an international dateline, well, then you should know what. It's a date when you should carry your towel, because you never know when a ship might just pick you up and take you off to a place you are not planning to go. Why is it I'm looking for the music that will clue you in as to what I'm talking about. I'm very certain I had it on this hard drive, the thumb drive, rather. There's another way around that over here. I can just type it in. And it's unfortunately one of those things, one of those pieces of music that was done by somebody who died just this year. Way too many artists and musicians have died this year. Glenn Frey of the Eagles was one of them. And this music is called Journey of the Sorcerer. And it was used as a theme music by a fellow who passed away a few years and 2 weeks ago to the day, who told you to always carry your towel. In his radio series, later novel, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And by the way, pledge some more. Call that phone number. Let's see those pledges come in. Maybe I'll play an episode of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Wouldn't that be appropriate for Towel Day? Yes, and by the way, I can boast that it was on Hour of the Wolf that Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy made its North American premiere. It wasn't, shall we say, legal, but now I can say what my source was. there was somebody who made pirate copies and brought it to WBAI. His name? Douglas Adams. Come on, give us a call. 516-620-3602. Pledge $25. One or two people call. Used in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. This is the original that you're hearing. But it is certainly the same source material that was used for that classic all-time. I maintain that as far as British science fiction radio drama is concerned, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the first fit, as Douglas Adams called it. He did two sets. I thought the first five episodes were wonderful. Episode six, not quite as much. And then he did another series, episodes 7 through 12, which I thought were funny and pleasant, but a little bit substandard. And then many years after Douglas's death, Dirk Maggs of the BBC, very competent, very good radio drama producer, did three more fits, each one of six episodes. And I listened to series number three, and oh my, I could not, it was all about cricket. You had to know all about cricket. I know as much about cricket as P.G. Wodehouse knew about baseball. And yes, P.G. Wodehouse did write about baseball, making it very clear how little he understood of it. Well, that I know less about cricket. And the whole thing used names of cricket players and terms and stuff like that that just totally, totally went over my head. So I will stick with the first fit of episodes from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I'd be willing to play an episode, being Towel Day, if we get a pledge. This is what is called in pitching terms as holding something for ransom. I will do this if you pay up. How do you pay up? You pick up the phone and you dial. I know you're going to press buttons, but we say dial. You dial 516-620-3602 and say, why, yes, I would like to contribute to WBAI. In fact, I would like to get that wonderful, spiffy, nifty premium being offered right now on Hour of the Wolf, about people of color in science fiction and fantasy. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. I'm not going to get into the whole what it is. Just call, make that pledge. I think, I'm not quite sure how this system works. I think that if you make the pledge online by going to WBAI.org, I will be informed of it, but I'm not sure. See, what happens is when you call that number, an email gets sent to us, and it's probably like 5-10 minutes in between the pledge being made and my getting that email. But at least I have some kind of feedback, thank you very much, that a pledge has been made. I'm not sure if that works if you do through the web, but let's just say that I would like to get at least one pledge, maybe two pledges of $25, and I'll give you half an hour of the best British comedy radio drama and or science fiction radio drama from that continent ever done. The best American science fiction radio drama, comedy radio drama. Why? It originated, of course, at Pacifica. It's the Firesign Theater. There is no substitute. Starting, it's their first four albums. That's a cycle. Waiting for the Electrician or Someone Like Him. The second album is How Can You Be in Two Places at Once When You're Not Anywhere at All? The third album is Don't Crush That Dwarf. Hand me the pliers. And the fourth album is I Think We're All Bozos on This Bus. Now, not everything on those four albums, they all make up one meta play, one mega thingy of a story that actually has a through line. In fact, there was a book, I don't know if it's in print anymore, but there was a book of the Firesign Theater Big Book of Plays, and it follows that story very well. It's fun reading the script, too, while you're listening to it, because those are so jam-packed with little, almost subliminal messages in there. But the Firesign Theater, those four people all came from Pacifica Stations. A music department person from WBAI, somebody from KPFA, and two people from KPFK, and they got together at KPFA, and started doing a show called Radio Free Oz, many of which can be heard through the Pacifica Archives or many different places like that. And the improv show is sort of fun and crazy and really a good example of, like, you know, that's the 60s, man. But the scripted work they did on their first four albums is simply superb, including Nick Danger, Third Eye, which is actually not part of the cycle, but is nevertheless brilliant. So that's the best American audio drama to date, as far as I'm concerned. Who knows? There's other stuff coming out, including the audiobook version of The City on the Edge of Forever, which was an episode for Star Trek written by Harlan Ellison. But the screenplay that Harlan wrote was not the screenplay that ended up on TV. And there are different reasons, different people have different stories as to what happened. But Ellison took his screenplay, brought it to Skyboat Media, and they did a full cast production of it, and that's coming out somewhere. I think there's a limited release somewhere next month, and then there's a wide release a little bit later. And by the way, don't forget, September 8th, 50th anniversary of the first broadcast of Star Trek. Stay tuned. But Hitchhiker's special thing, nifty thing, pledge, call. We don't have a towel, but we do have a CD. By the way, you can also, on the website, get yourself a T-shirt, a cap, a tote bag. There are many nice generic WBAI items there. Or you can just donate $25. But if you do donate $25, why not take advantage of the CD that I am offering as a thank you gift for your pledge, of different interviews of people in color in science fiction for the last umpteen years. 516-620-3602 is the number to call and pledge, and or go to WBAI.org and follow the prompts that greedily ask for your donations in order to keep listener-sponsored radio alive. Mind you, we don't get these big grants. We are not government-funded. We don't get serious corporate money. You know, this Corporation for Public Broadcasting pays a very limited amount of stuff. We are still well over 90% listener-sponsored. And the other monies are, you know, like a capital donation here or there, things that we take advantage of through Pacifica Foundation and through our development department. But the rest all comes from you. You don't hear that program was subsidized by blah, blah, blah. I've had publishers and magazines come up to me and say, can we sponsor your show? And the answer is, alas, no. I mean, you want to give $25. We'll take it. We'll even take, you know, like $500 as a donation. But, you know, we're not going to say sponsored by or brought to you by or we'd like to give thanks to the blah, blah, blah for sponsoring this. That's not how we work. What we do is we say we want to give thanks to you, the listeners. That's listener-sponsored radio. And it works by your making a phone call. 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, or you can do it online by going to WBAI.org and follow the links that will bring you to yet another website, which is actually give to WBAI.org, but that's the number to give, G-I-V-E, numeral two, WBAI.org. That's why I don't pitch that. It's too difficult to say, too easy to get confused. So I am hoping for a pledge. Can we get a pledge, please? If we get a pledge, we get some Towel Day stuff, some Hitchhiker stuff. I mean, we will keep ourselves amused otherwise, including The possibility of taking phone calls because it's been way too long. But we have a responsibility to keep this radio station funded, to keep us alive, to make sure that we're not going off the air because we have had way too many issues over recent times of not being able to pay certain bills, of being forced out of one building and forced out of another. I'm very happy with the headquarters where we are now, but we're in a place that isn't soundproofed at all. We don't have a studio. You know, we have microphones, we have a small mixing board, but we don't have a real studio. So we need that. What's more, we need to make sure that we're not going to get unfunded and go out into the hot weather out there. All of a sudden, it's hot out here in New York City, like happened today. One way or the other. Through all the years that I've worked here, 49-plus years, I guess I can actually truthfully say I am my 50th year of working for WBAI. I'm 63. You can do the math for how old I was when I began. So I have seen crises. I have seen political problems. We have met the enemy, and it is us. All of that is true. But I don't think I've ever seen us as close to the brink for all kinds of reasons, some of which are, you know, the fault of our own comrades, and some of which are simply the realities of radio in an internet age. But there's still things we can do here that you cannot do on a podcast or online or whatever. You know, you do a podcast. If Hour of the Wolf is a podcast, you've got to know to look for it. You've got to know the name. You've got to search for the topic. Oh, science fiction interviews. Ah, okay. How likely are you to do that? I didn't think so. Broadcasting at 99.5 FM to 50,000 watts, plus being available to stream on the internet, has the capability to bring in amazing numbers of listeners. And something else we can do here that you cannot do on a podcast. We can take live interactive listener phone calls. Yeah, I know there are podcasts that say, well, we're going to have such and such guest at this time and you can call in and all that. But you can't hear it at the time it's actually happening. You hear it. You know, they record it and then they play that later here. You know, a listener calls in, brings up a topic, and another person can follow through on that. And we may do that later, but we got to make money. We got to raise money. You got to at least show me a sign. I'm looking for a sign from the heavens that somebody has pledged, that somebody has given this morning to WBAI. Area code 516-620-3602. As I say, I am not certain about how this system here works. I do quite believe it could be flawed, but I gotta see at least one more pledge come in. We've already had one from a person on Amsterdam Avenue, and I'm grateful for that. But that was at 12:37, and it's now 2:02. So really, you know, $25 in that time, doesn't cut it. That means, well, you'll have recordings on the air, if not me. Recordings promoting various other kinds of gifts that aren't of a literary nature and things like that, which, yeah, they make a lot of money for the station. There's no question about it. But I don't think they're not in the same cultural niche as the kind that I try to bring, which is a more there are a lot of good programs that, and a lot of premiums that are of a philosophical nature. But what we do here with the concept of science fiction, it's not like, oh, yeah, man, I'm into sci-fi. Well, there's a certain amount of that, sure. That's what brings you in. But as I was saying in the recording we heard earlier with Octavia Butler, You come for the adventure and you stay for the provocative thought that it brings. And some of it is simply excellent literature. And if you don't think that it's literature, then you'd better re-examine. There are any number of literary organizations that have had to rethink. It's, you know, Jonathan Lethem. Yeah, he's science fiction, gang. His first novel, Gun with Occasional Music, was about a kangaroo on Pluto, gun-toting kangaroo on Pluto, who talks, yes. I think we can safely say that's SF. His second novel, Amnesia Moon, is just a tour de force a la Philip K. Dick. And, of course, he's gone further than that. His best-known book, Motherless Brooklyn, it's a mystery novel, brilliant. Okay, that one isn't SF, but most of what he writes falls into that genre. Thomas Pynchon, Gravity's Rainbow, first couple of pages, the sun goes nova. You tell me if that's merely literature. Yes, it's literature. It's also science fiction. It's also, you know, fantasy. It's all one genre, gang. And that is what this show has been concentrating on all these years. I will do my guilty pleasure programs. I will discuss such things as the latest Doctor on Doctor Who. By the way, here's an idea for everybody. Hayley Atwell as the next Doctor. Just a thought, just throwing it out. Anyway. Yeah, I succumb to all that. Of course I do. But that's not the main purpose of this program. The main purpose of this program is to let you know that there's a lot of important literature out there. And a lot of it just fun, entertaining, rib-tickling stuff. It's not the stuff that's going into most movies. It's certainly not the stuff in the Marvel Universe. There's a lot more to science fiction than that. And we hope that you enjoy learning about it as I learn about it and share it with you. Please shut me up by making a pledge. 516-620-3602. We're not asking for $150. Well, actually, you want to give $150? Sure, I'll ask you for it. Fine. We'll take that. We're asking for it. Fine. But to get the premium that we are offering this morning, to the thank you gift of this CD I've put together of interviews with science fiction and fantasy writers, requires but a mere $25 pledge minimum. And as soon as you pay out that pledge, you can do it with a credit card, even as you call or go online, then we will send that your way. 516-620-3602. It's 2 in the morning. It's after 2 in the morning. Do I really want to be getting up the adrenaline and revving up? Or do we want to lay back, maybe talk with each other, or maybe listen to something to celebrate Towel Day, or hear something else from that CD that I'm preparing? It's up to you. It's totally up to you. That's a lot of what listener-sponsored radio is about. But you need to sponsor the radio. You need to make that pledge. You need to make that call. Make that call now, please. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Or go to give2wbai.org. That's the number 2. Give2wbai.org. And look for the thing that says Arts and Music, and you will find the premium for Hour of the Wolf and your pledge there. Or 516-620-3602. That's the easiest method, I think. Just because that other URL is a little weird, and then you've got to find the premium and stuff like that. But other people do it. Other people are capable of it. So are you. 516-620-3602 or WBAI.org. Please do that now. You may have already done it. As I said, this thing is on a delay. And you know what I'll do is for a little while, hoping that a pledge will come in, I will entertain on-the-air phone calls for a little while. You must be on topic. The topic is the stuff we've been discussing this morning on the air. And the number to call in on the air is area code 718-780-8888. Okay? So, but, you know, if you're not dead on topic, it will be a very short call, a very short call indeed. Okay. So, hi there. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. I knew it would be on the topic.
Yes. Well, thank you. How did I know you were going to play Journey of the Sorcerer? A piece of music that the more I hear it, I have adjectives. One of them is primordial.
Well, it's towel day. That's all.
Well, no. Yeah, I understand that. And it's,
if it wasn't towel day, I wouldn't have played it.
Okay, I understand that too. In fact, a week ago, I was in a friend's kitchen on the West Coast, and he actually played it for me on his clawhammer banjo. And it, you said previously that you were an associate member of CEFWA. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm very curious. If you had written fiction in science fiction or fantasy or related fields, or, say, a critical essay.
To be a full member of CEFWA, you have to have either published a novel or three short stories in the previous 10 years.
Ah, okay.
I am not a writer.
Oh, okay.
I am an associate member, as a publisher might be.
Oh.
I am a member of the industry who does not write, but the organization is Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America.
No, I
associate with them. I am not a I am not a full member. Okay.
See, the way I got to be a member of WWA was you either have to have written some fiction on the field in the field, or a literary criticism, or a dissertation. And my dissertation was on a topic dealing with the Old West, and that's how.
But we're getting very off
topic. Okay. No. I understand. Anyway. Okay. What's the date then? June 7th. June 7th is your next thing in Brooklyn. Well,
yes.
I will try. I will try to be there.
Very good.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, so let's check the other phone number for pledges. Or actually, let's see if people called that phone number. And then if I get notified, the 516-620-3602, or if you'd like to call up and discuss people of color in science fiction or the work of Douglas Adams, therefore the Towel Day reference, or even the movie review of the day, Captain America, I will accept that as a topic, the MCU. Or even Doctor Who. Those are the parameters right there. But particularly people of color in science fiction is what I'm most interested in discussing this morning. You can do that by dialing 718-780-8888. But it's most important that we raise money this morning. It's a fundraising drive. I'm frequently not on during the fundraising drives. Usually out of like 5 weeks, they put me on once and just in my normal time slot, surrounded by recordings on either side. And those recordings raise money. I need to raise money to be able to be on the air live and present you with entertainment and other things in order to keep on doing this. They won't schedule me if we don't make money. It's very simple. So please support the radio program that's been on these airwaves for 42-plus years, a person who's worked here for 49-plus years, and the radio station itself, which has been here for now 66 years. The telephone number, again, is 516-620-3602. And the number to call in the air, 718-780-8888. One of the things I'm unhappy about at this hour is not a good, it's a good time to broadcast. It's not a great time for taking calls on the air, as evidenced by the fact of how few are coming in. But that's, you know, the show is still worthwhile. Just listener calls. If I had started them at midnight, we would have gotten plenty, but we had to get going. We had to do our movie review, and we had to explain the premise of the morning of POC and SF over WBAI. If that's not enough acronyms, I can throw more at you. Please call Pledge, 516-620-3602. And yeah, I can get out of this easily. I can play a piece of Hitchhikers. I was actually hoping to play two pieces, episodes 3 and 4, because I consider those the funniest. But we're already out of time, each episode being 32 minutes long. That's the original running time length. Why 32 minutes? I don't know. Ask the Beeb. But that's how Douglas Adams produced them. So that we're already out of time for. But we could play one. We could do one. But we need to see a pledge at 516-620-3602. And since I'm not getting calls on topic, I may just go ahead and revert. And I'm pretty sure I will play at least one episode regardless, because it's appropriate and it's airtime, and I'm on for 3 hours this morning, and I can, without a guest, and I can only do so much on my own. Maybe you would like to call and tell people, maybe you've already given, tell people why WBAI is so important in your life. I have more experience at this blessed place than most other people outside of, let's see, Janet Coleman, David Dozer, Bob Fass, and David Rothenberg. I think those are the only people who predate me at the station. So, and not all of them have been at the station continuously through all those years. I know Janet and David were off the air for about 10 years. Fass, after the 77 crisis, off the air for 5 years. And Rothenberg, I think he took a sabbatical at some point, but I'm not positive about that. And let's see. Good morning. You're on the radio.
Winston Samuels.
Well, it's about time I heard from you. It's been years. If Lynn, unfortunately, is with Sexy Sadie. They're in the same place. Well, one of my favorite crank calls of all time. It's been at least 10 years since I heard from that person. He would either ask for Lynn Samuels, Sexy Sadie. There was also a We Want that went with it. There's a mantra. It's a favorite of mine. 718-780-8888 to speak on the air. There's a good person. There's a good reason to pledge to WBAI. We had the best crank callers of any radio station in the country, darn it. And that, I mean, the all-time has to go to the woman who used to call Steve Post. She was known as the Enema Lady. The number two person would be, and she wasn't only a phone guest, she was also in studio every so often, Mae Brussel, who very often graced our airwaves on Radio Unnameable, talking about all kinds of conspiracy theorem. And I'll put this person next, and after that, Monroe Littman was not a crank caller. He was a cranky caller. There's a difference. And he and Lynn Samuels passed on the same day. It's sort of like Thomas Jefferson and John Adams dying on the same day. It was just almost too appropriate. Please pledge, area code 516-620-3602. It's, there's about 41 minutes left of the show. I've got a five-minute outro, which means that there's about 35 minutes left, and I'd like to play a 32-minute radio drama. So let's get some action here, folks. So you do the math, and that means we got 3 minutes. Come on, somebody, in the next 3 minutes, call, pledge, 516-620-3602. You don't want me to renege on Talde, do you? I didn't think so. 516-620-3602. A $25 pledge will make you a member of WBAI and will give you a thank you gift of about 14 hours or more of various people of color in science fiction is the theme for that particular piece. So, call now. Make that pledge now. Can't wait too much longer because we're out of time. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Make that call, make that pledge, or visit WBAI.org. Make that pledge. Look for the premium I mentioned about people of color in science fiction fantasy. You can always do a search on the word wolf. That's a good one. Wolf will bring it to you. If you do our, you'll get all kinds of stuff. Okay. Oops. Yeah. Hi there. You're on the radio. I know who you are. I can hear you breathing. Say it.
Would you like me to sweeten the pot or perhaps offer another incentive for people to pledge?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm working on an Orson Welles massive download for only $65 pledge.
Ooh.
It will include every Mercury Theater that survives, including science fiction, War of the Worlds, and genre, Dracula. Plus 30-some-odd episodes of the Campbell Playhouse, which was a sponsored version of the Mercury Theater. Plus every other show I can find with Orson Welles. He subbed for Jack Benny for 5 weeks. He did a series for Britain called The Black Museum, where he hosted a show going through each murder item in the Black Museum, 52 episodes. Massive premium for a $65 pledge.
I actually heard one of those Black Museum things from Paul Wonder.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they were produced in the 1950s by Harry Allen Towers, who also did The Third Man.
Ooh.
Which is a separate premium, by the way. That is available for a $40 pledge as a download, all 52 episodes with Orson Welles.
I could never understand why people thought Harry Lime was so cool.
Well, in the movie, of course, he was a horrible murderer.
Yeah.
But for radio, they made him into a lovable rogue who always, you know, managed to scam his way into, you know, the better end of things.
I wonder how Graham Greene felt about that.
I mean, that's an interesting. I have never seen a discussion of that.
Yeah.
But you know, they 52 episodes of Harry Lime, $40 pledge is a instant download.
Yeah.
Well, ready now. It's there. Ready for people who want to pledge for it.
Yeah.
There's a Bob and Ray premium I could offer. $40 for a huge Bob and Ray sampler from their entire career.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just some ideas.
Those are.
I will be on, by the way. Let me get a little plug
in.
Oh, yes, 7 to 11 this Sunday night.
Oh, good.
Offering these very things. So we'll hear a lot of Orson Welles this Sunday night from 7 to 11.
Is there any particular anniversary of his coming up? Because on Turner Classic Movies, I've been noticing his daughter on there frequently. Well, it's an old, you know, thing that she did about him and Rita Hayworth, but they've been playing that over the last week.
No, I don't know of any. I just was inspired. I've been playing The Third Man for about a month as a weekly series. And so, and then I came across, what was it, the Lady Esther Screen Guild, a bunch of programs that Wells did in 1942. So it just suddenly occurred to me I should gather up every Orson Welles radio program I could find and make it available as a download, which should have been priced far higher, but it's only $65.
Yeah, that is about a steal. And,
yes.
And do you have a name for it, like All's Well That Ends
Wells? No, it's just the Orson Welles Download.
The Orson Welles Download. That sounds like you need, a wine that won't age before it's not, something like that.
Speaking of wine, we have the Petri Wine series of Sherlock Holmes with Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce. It's also a $40 download.
Yeah. I don't think there's much in there that you don't have, Max.
I'm trying to think what the other ones are. Oh, we got Friar's Roast. If you want filthy humor and entertainment,
we have a
$65 Friar's Roast download.
Just of all different.
Oh, there's like more than a dozen. There's like three quarters are filthy, and the other quarter are like Jack Benny for the Heart Fund.
It totally expands the concept of seven words.
Well, you'll hear eight words in this, believe me.
Yeah, at least. Well, I mean, the seventh word isn't even prescribed, and number two isn't really either.
Well, they've got words in this Friar's Roasts. You know, they must have a book. Because you hear the same joke repeated many times with different people involved.
Yeah.
But
they all paid Georgie Jessel or something like that. The Aristocrats.
Ah. Somehow they avoided the Aristocrats in the Friar's Roast. There are other standard
bits of
humor that pop up from roasts. There's a Schwarzenegger roast. There's a Red Fox roast. There's Schwarzenegger.
I can imagine the Red Fox roast. That must be really...
Yes, especially when he gets up to rebut.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I mean, just a few other items people might want to make a pledge for.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
By calling 516-620-3602 and look for premiums under the Golden Age of Radio.
Yep, that's correct.
Absolutely, which is indeed golden.
And, you know, most of the downloads, there are four different downloads at $40 a piece. There's two at $65, and, there's a Gene Shepherd thing. Complete reading of In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash.
Which is my favorite. If you get only one Gene Shepherd thing to listen to, I would choose that.
And, you know, it's amazing that this even exists. He recorded it for The Blind a year after the book was published.
Wow.
Some guy happened to be in the recording studio and got a copy of the master tape.
Oh, that's great.
You know, otherwise, if we found it at all, it would be a copy from a 1 7/8 record, all scratched up, played a million times because it was out on loan. But this was taken from the studio master. It's over 8 hours.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
It's available.
Hell, I'd go for that.
Well, okay. I'll put you down for one.
Yeah, please do. Please do. So if I'm going to play any Hitchhikers, I need to start it now.
Okay. Well, you know, and if Lister doesn't come,
which I don't think he will,
probably padding in the next 3 hours. Take a look. You know, if you got to run over a little bit, you can remove some of the promos that might be in the next 3 hours.
Yeah, but I'd rather not. Also for the internet listeners.
Because
otherwise it would cut off on their archive.
Well, that's true, too. Just a thought.
Yeah, and it's the only reason I watch the clock.
Okay, well, I just thought I would toss a few options into the pot here.
They are appreciated.
Okay, well, you know, hope you're...
So should I do episode 3 or episode 4?
You know, it's been so long since I've heard them that I actually don't remember.
Episode 4 is Magrathea. Episode 3 is Deep Thought.
Magrathea.
Yeah.
Because I remember that one more so than the other.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of the best. Okay, well, thank you.
All right.
All right.
Good luck, and I'll see you the next go-round.
Okay, very good. Take care.
All right. Goodbye.
Good morning. All righty. So, without further ado, an episode for Towel Day of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. But don't forget all those premiums Max Schmid was throwing out at you, or the one I'm offering, by calling 516-620-3602. And now, set your Wayback Machine for 1977 or 78 for The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. Starring Peter Jones as The Book. Arthur Dent, a perfectly ordinary Earthman, was rather surprised when his friend Ford Prefect suddenly revealed himself to be from a small planet somewhere in the vicinity of Betelgeuse, and not from Guildford after all. He was even more surprised when a few minutes later the Earth was unexpectedly demolished to make way for a new hyperspace bypass. But this was as nothing to their joint surprise when they are rescued from certain death by a stolen spaceship manned by Ford's semi-cousin, the infamous Zaphod Beeblebrox, and Trillian, a rather nice astrophysicist Arthur once met at a party in Islington. However, all four of them are soon totally overwhelmed with surprise when they discover that the ancient world of Magrathea, a planet famed in legend for its surprising trade in manufacturing other planets, is not as dead as it was supposed to be. For Zaphod, Ford, and Trillian, surprise is pushed to its very limits when this happens. And when Arthur Dent encounters Slati Bartfast, the Magrathean coastline designer, who won an award for his work on Norway, and learns that the whole history of mankind was run for the benefit of a few white mice anyway, surprise is no longer adequate, and he is forced to resort to astonishment.
Mice? What do you mean, mice? I think we must be talking of cross purposes.
These creatures you call mice are not quite as they appear. They are merely the protrusions into our dimension of vast, hyper-intelligent, pan-dimensional beings. The whole business with the cheese and the squeaking is just a front.
A front?
Oh, yes. You see, that mice set up the whole Earth business as an epic experiment in behavioral psychology, in which your planet Earth and its people formed the matrix of an organic computer.
Attention, please. Slotty Bartfast, would Slotty Bartfast and the visiting Earth creature please report immediately to the Works reception area? Thank you.
However, in the field of management relations, they're absolutely shocking.
Really?
Yes, well, you see, every time they give me an order, I just want to jump on a table and scream.
I can see that would be a problem.
There are, of course, many problems connected with life, of which some of the most popular are, why are people born? Why do they die? And why do they spend so much of the intervening time wearing digital watches? Many millions of years ago, a race of hyper-intelligent, pan-dimensional beings got so fed up with all the constant bickering about the meaning of life, which used to interrupt their favorite pastime of brocky and ultra cricket, a curious game which involved suddenly hitting people for no readily apparent reason and running away, that they decided to sit down and solve the problem once and for all. And to this end, they built themselves a stupendous supercomputer which was so amazingly intelligent that even before its data banks had been connected up, it had started from first principles with, I think, therefore I am, and had got as far as deducing the existence of rice pudding and income tax before anyone managed to turn it off. Could a mere computer solve the problem of life, the universe, and everything? Fortunately for posterity, there exists a tape recording of what transpired when the computer was given this particularly monumental task. Arthur Dent stops off in Slotty Bartfast's study to hear it.
What is this great task for which I, deep thought, the second greatest computer in the universe of time and space, have been called into existence?
Well, your task, O computer, is to calculate...
This isn't right. Deep thought.
Speak, and I will hear.
Are you not, as we designed you to be, the greatest, most powerful computer in all creation?
I described myself as the second greatest, and such I am.
But this is preposterous. Are you not a greater computer than the milliard gargantuan brain at Maximegalon, which can count all the atoms in a star in a millisecond?
The milliard gargantuan brain... a mere abacus. Mention it not.
And are you not a more fiendish disputant than a great hyperlobic omnicognate neutron wrangler, which
the
can
great
destroy...
hyperlobic omnicognate neutron wrangler took all four legs of an Arcturan megadonkey, but only I can persuade it to go for a walk afterward. Molest me not with this pocket calculator stuff.
Then what's the problem?
I speak of none, but the computer that is to come after me.
Oh, come on. I think this is getting needlessly messianic.
You know nothing of future time. And yet, in my teeming circuitry, I can navigate the infinite delta streams of future probability and see that there must one day come a computer whose merest operational parameters I am not worthy to calculate, but which it will be my destiny eventually to design.
Can we get on and ask the question?
Speak.
Oh, deep thought computer, the task we have designed you to perform is this. We want you to tell us the answer.
The answer? The answer to what?
Life!
The universe!
Everything!
Tricky.
But can you do it?
Yes, I can do it.
You can!
There is an answer? A simple answer?
Yes. Life, the universe, and everything. There is an answer. But I'll have to think about it.
Who are you? What do you want?
I am Magic Thoris.
And I demand that I am Broombandle.
Right, they don't need to demand that.
All right. I am Broombandle, and that is not a demand. That is a solid fact.
Who are you, anyway?
We are philosophers.
Though we may not be.
Yes, we...
We are quite definitely here as representatives of the Amalgamated Union of Philosophers, Sages, Luminaries, and other professional thinking persons.
Mm-hmm.
And we want this machine off. And we want it off now.
Yeah.
By law, the quest for the ultimate truth is quite clearly the unalienable prerogative of your working fingers.
That's right.
I mean, what's the use of our sitting up all night saying there may...
Or may not be.
Or may not be a god if this machine comes along next morning and gives you his telephone number.
We demand rigidly defined areas of doubt and uncertainty.
Might I make an observation at this point?
We demand that that machine not be allowed to think about this problem.
If I might make an observation...
We'll go on strike.
That's right. You'll have a national philosopher's strike on your hands.
Who will that inconvenience?
Never you mind who it'll inconvenience, you box of blacklegging binary bits. It'll hurt, Buster. It'll hurt.
If I might make an observation, all I want to say is that my circuits are now irrevocably committed to computing the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
Ah, Vox,
the program will take me 7.5 million years to run.
7.5 million years?
Yes, I said I'd have to think about it, didn't I? And it occurs to me that running a program like this is bound to cause sensational public interest.
And so,
any philosophers who are quick off the mark are going to clean up in the prediction business.
Prediction business?
Obviously. You just get on the pundit circuit. You all go on the chat shows and the color supplements and violently disagree with each other about what answer I'm eventually going to produce. And if you get yourselves clever agents, you'll be on the gravy train for life.
Bloody hell, now, that's what I call thinking. Here, Broomfondle, why do we never think of things like that?
Dunno. Think our minds must be too highly trained, Magic Thighs.
But I don't understand what all this has got to do with the Earth and mice and things.
All will become clear to you, Earthman. Are you not anxious to hear what the computer had to say 7.5 million years later?
Oh, well, yes, of course. Quite.
Here is the recording of the events of that fateful day.
O people who wait in the shadow of deep thought, honored descendants of Broomfondle and Magic Thighs, the greatest and most truly interesting pundits the universe has ever known, the time of waiting is over! 7.5 million years our race has waited for this great and hopefully enlightening day. The day of the answer. Never, never again will we wake up in the morning and think, who am I? What is my purpose in life? Does it really, cosmically speaking, matter if I don't get up and go to work? Or today we will finally learn, once and for all, the plain and simple answer to all these nagging little problems of life, the universe, and everything. Or today we can enjoy our game of Brockian ultra cricket in the firm and comfortable knowledge that the meaning of life is now well and truly sorted out.
5,000 generations ago, our ancestors set this program in motion.
An awesome prospect. Deep Thought prepares to speak.
Good evening.
Good evening, old Deep Thought. Do you have...
An answer for you? Yes, I have.
There really is one.
There really is one.
To everything? To the great question of life, the universe, and everything?
Yes.
And are you ready to give it to us?
I am.
Now?
Now.
Wow.
Though I don't think you're going to like it.
It doesn't matter. We must know it.
Now?
Yes, now.
All right.
Well?
You're really not going to like it.
Tell us.
All right. The answer to everything.
Yes?
Life, the universe, and everything.
Yes.
Is.
Yes.
Is.
Yes.
42.
We are going to get lynched, you know that.
It was a tough assignment.
42?
I think the problem, such as it was too broadly based. You never actually stated what the question was.
It was the ultimate question, the question of life, the universe, and everything.
Exactly. Now you know that the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything is 42. All you need to do now is find out what the ultimate question is.
All right. Can you please tell us the question?
The ultimate question.
Yes.
Of life, the universe...
And everything?
And everything.
Yes.
Tricky.
But can you do it?
No.
Oh, God.
But I'll tell you who can.
Who? Tell us. Tell us.
Who is
it? I speak of none but the computer that is to come after me.
What computer?
A computer whose nearest operational parameters I am not worthy to calculate, and yet I will design it for you.
That.
A computer which can calculate the question to the ultimate answer. A computer of such infinite and subtle complexity that organic life itself will form part of its operational matrix, and which shall be called the Earth.
Oh, what a dull name.
So there you have it. Deep Thought designed it, we built it, and you lived on it.
And the Vogons came and destroyed it 5 minutes before the program was completed.
Yes. 10 million years of planning and work gone. Just like that. Well, that's bureaucracy for you.
You know, all this explains a lot of things. All through my life, I've had this strange, unaccountable feeling that something was going on in the world. And no one would tell me what it was.
No, that's just perfectly normal paranoia. Everyone in the universe has that.
Well, perhaps it means that somewhere outside...
Maybe. Who cares? Perhaps I'm old and tired, but I always think that the chances of finding out what really is going on are so absurdly remote that the only thing to do is to say, hang the sense of it and just keep yourself occupied. Look at me. I design coastlines. I got an award for Norway. Where's the sense in that? None that I've been able to make out. I've been doing fjords all my life. For a fleeting moment, they become fashionable, and I get a major award. In this replacement Earth we're building, they've given me Africa to do, and of course I'm doing it with all fjords again, because I happen to like them. And I'm old-fashioned enough to think that they give a lovely Baroque feel to a continent. And they tell me it's not equatorial enough. What does it matter? Science has achieved some wonderful things, of course, but I'd far rather be happy than right any day.
And are you?
No. That's when it all falls down, of course.
Pity. It sounded like quite a good lifestyle otherwise.
Attention, please, Slotty Bot Fast. Would Slotty Bot Fast and the visiting Earth creature please report immediately? Repeat immediately to the works reception area. Come on, you guys. The mice aren't wanting to hang about in this dimension all day.
Come on, I suppose we'd better go and see what they want.
I seem to be having this tremendous difficulty with my lifestyle. As soon as I reach some kind of definite policy about what is my kind of music and my kind of restaurant and my kind of overdraft, people start blowing up my kind of planet and throwing me out of their kind of spaceships. It's so hard to build up anything coherent. Oh, I'm sorry, all this must sound rather fatuous to you.
Yes, I thought so.
Just forget I ever said it.
It is, of course, well known that careless talk costs lives, but the full scale of the problem is not always appreciated. For instance, at the very moment that Arthur Dent said, "I seem to be having this tremendous difficulty with my lifestyle," a freak wormhole opened up in the fabric of the space-time continuum and carried his words far, far back in time across almost infinite reaches of space to a distant galaxy where strange and warlike beings were poised on the brink of frightful interstellar battle. The two opposing leaders were meeting for the last time, and a dreadful silence fell across the conference table as the commander of the Vlahergs, resplendent in his black jeweled battle shorts, gazed levelly at the Gogogvant leader squatting opposite him in a cloud of green, sweet-smelling steam, and with a million sleek and horribly beweaponed star cruisers poised to unleash electric death at his single word of command, challenged the vile creature to take back what it had said about his mother. The creature stirred in his sickly broiling vapor, and at that very moment, the words,
"I seem to be having this tremendous difficulty with my lifestyle,"
drifted across the conference table. Unfortunately, in the Vlaherg tongue, this was the most dreadful insult imaginable, and there was nothing for it but to wage terrible war. Eventually, of course, it was realized that the whole thing had been a ghastly mistake, and so the two opposing battle fleets settled their few remaining differences in order to launch a joint attack on our galaxy, now positively identified as the source of the offending remark. For thousands more years, the mighty ships tore across the empty wastes of space and finally dived screaming onto the planet Earth, where, due to a terrible miscalculation of scale, the entire battle fleet was accidentally swallowed by a small dog. Those who study the complex interplay of cause and effect in the history of the universe say that this sort of thing is going on all the time, but are powerless to prevent it. It's just life, they say. Meanwhile, Arthur Dent is about to discover the answer to the disturbing question posed in last week's installment. Are his companions, Ford, Zaphod, and Trillian, lying bleeding to death in a subterranean corridor? Or have they merely slipped out for a quick meal somewhere?
Arthur, you're safe.
Am I? Oh, good.
Hi, Arthur. Come and join us.
What happened to you?
Well, our hosts here sort of attacked us with a fantastic dismodulating anti-phase stun ray and then invited us to this amazingly keen meal by way of making it up to us.
Hosts? What hosts? I can't see any hosts.
Welcome to lunch, our creature.
What? Who said that? Oh, there's a mouse on the table.
Oh, haven't you found out yet, Arthur?
Found out what? Oh, I see, yes. Oh, yes. I just wasn't quite prepared for the full reality of it.
Arthur, let me introduce you. This is Benji Mouse.
Hi.
Hi.
And this is Frankie, Mouse.
Nice to meet you.
It seems they control quite a large sector of the universe in our dimension.
But aren't they...
Yes, they are the mice I took with me from the Earth. It seems our whole journey has been stage-managed from the beginning.
Excuse me.
Yes, thank you, Slotty Bot Fast. You may go.
Oh, very well, thank you, sir. I'll just go and get on with some of my fjords, then.
In fact, that won't be necessary.
What?
We won't be requiring the new Earth after all. We've had this rather interesting proposition put to us.
You can't mean that. I've got 1,000 glaciers poised and ready to roll over Africa.
Well, perhaps you can take a quick skiing holiday before you dismantle them.
Skiing holiday? Those glaciers are works of art. Elegantly sculpted contours, soaring pinnacles of ice, deep, majestic ravines. It would be sacrilege to go skiing on high art.
Thank you, Slotty Bot Fast. That will be all.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Well, goodbye, Earthman. I hope the lifestyle comes together.
Goodbye, then. Sorry about the field.
Now, Earth creature, we have, as you know, been more or less running your planet for the last 10 million years in order to find this wretched thing called the ultimate question.
Why?
No, we already thought of that one, but it doesn't fit the answer.
No, I mean, why have you been doing it?
Oh, well, eventually just habit, I think, to be brutally honest. And this is more or less the point. We are sick to the teeth of the whole thing. And the prospect of doing it all over again on account of those winnet-ridden Vogons, quite frankly, gives me the screaming heebie-jeebies. You know what I mean? We've been offered a quite enormously fat contract to do the 5DTV chat show and lecture circuit. And I'm very much inclined to take it.
I would, wouldn't you, Ford?
Oh, yes, jump at it like a shot.
But that's exactly the attitude those philosophers took. Does no one in this galaxy do anything other than appear on chat shows?
The point is this. We are in a position to give you a very important commission. We still want to find the ultimate question because it gives us a lot of bargaining muscle with the 5D TV companies. So it's worth a lot of money. quite clearly, if we're sitting there in the studio mentioning that we happen to know the answer to life, the universe and everything, and then eventually have to admit that it's 42, then I think the show is probably quite short.
Yes, but doesn't that mean you've got to go through your whole 10-million-year program again?
We think there might be a shortcut. Your agent has...
That's me.
Is it?
Your agent has suggested that both you and Earthgirl, as last-generation products of the computer matrix, are probably in an ideal position to find the question for us and find it quickly. Go out and find it, and we'll make you a reasonably rich man.
We're holding out for extremely rich.
All right, extremely rich. You drive a hard bargain, Beeble Brock. Oh, bells, what is it now?
Emergency, emergency. Hostile ship has landed on planet. Intruders now in works reception area. Defense stations, defense stations. Come on, you guys, what are you nuts? Get out of there!
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Oh, police! Hell and bats, dude, we've got to get out.
Police?
Yeah, it's this wretched spacecraft we stole, and I left them a note explaining how they could make a profit on the insurance claim, but it doesn't seem to have worked.
Oh, come on then, let's move.
Yeah. Earthman, find us the question.
How?
No, that doesn't work either.
We will find it. Come on, get out of here.
Thanks for the meal, guys. Sorry we've got to run.
Which way, Zaphod?
At a wild guess, I'd say down here.
Come on, let's go.
Okay, Beeblebrox. All in right there. We've got you covered.
You want to try and guess at all, Ford?
Okay, this way.
Yeah,
all right, okay.
We don't want to shoot you, Beeblebrox.
Shoot me fine.
We cornered.
Oh, hell. I think I've dropped my adrenaline pills. All right. Behind this computer bank. Get down.
Hey, they're shooting at us.
Yeah.
I thought they said they didn't want to do that.
Yeah, I thought they said that.
Hey, I thought you said you didn't want to shoot us.
It isn't easy. Cop?
What did he say?
He said it isn't easy being a cop.
Well, surely that's his problem, isn't it?
I just thought so.
Hey, listen, I think we've got enough problems of our own with you shooting at us, so if you could avoid laying your personal problems on us as well, I think we'd probably find it easier to cope.
Now, see here, buddy. You're not dealing with any dumb, two-bit trigger puppet morons with low hairlines, little piggy eyes, and no conversation.
Nah.
We're a couple of intelligent, caring guys who you'd probably like if you met us socially.
That's right, I'm really sensitive.
Who are these guys?
I think I preferred it when they were shooting.
So are you going to come quietly or are you going to let us blast you?
Which would you rather?
You still there?
Yes.
We didn't enjoy doing that at all. Beeblebrox, either you all give yourselves up now and let us beat you up a bit. No, not very much, of course, because we are firmly opposed to needless violence.
Get against it.
That's crazy. You wouldn't blow up this entire planet just to get a bloody spaceship back.
Oh, yes, we would. I think we would. Wouldn't we?
Oh, yeah, we'd have to, no question.
But why?
Tell her.
Because there are some things you got to do even if you aren't an enlightened liberal cop who knows all about sensitivity and everything.
This is true.
I just don't believe these guys.
Shall we shoot them again for a bit?
Yeah, why not?
We're not going to be safe behind this computer bank for much longer, fellas. It's been really nice knowing you. I just want to say that.
Yeah, it's really been great. And it was really nice bumping into you again.
Hey,
the computer bank is absorbing a hell of a lot of energy. I think it's about to blow.
It's a shame we never managed to get the work done revising the book. I thought it looked rather promising.
Yeah.
Look.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, that thing.
Look, I hate to say this, Les, but this thing really is going to blow up.
Okay.
Assuming our heroes survive this latest reversal in their fortunes, will they find somewhere reasonably interesting to go now? Will Arthur Dent or Trillian manage to find the question to the ultimate answer? Who will they meet at the restaurant at the end of the universe? Find out in next week's exciting installment of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
In that episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Peter Jones was the book. Richard Vernon was Slaty Bartfast. Simon Jones played Arthur Dent. Geoffrey McGiven, Ford Prefect and Deep Thought. Mark Wing Davies, Zaphod Beeblebrox. Susan Sheridan, Trillian. Jonathan Adams, Magic Thighs and the Cheerleader. Ray Hassett, the first computer programmer, Bang Bang and PA Voice. Jeremy Brown, second computer programmer. James Broadbent, Broom Fondle and Shooty. Peter Hawkins, Frankie Mouse. And David Tate, Benji Mouse. The ultimate answer to life, the universe and everything was revealed by kind permission of the Amalgamated Union of Philosophers, Sages, Luminaries and other professional thinking persons. The programme was written by Douglas Adams and produced by Geoffrey Perkins with the assistance of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop.
I must apologize. I thought that I had with me the crisp, perfect, clear 32-minute episodes, but that was not. That was a rather muddied transcription. Or rather something.
Pardon me, I'm reaching over here.
Rather, I suspect that that was a copy of one of the cassettes and not what I wanted to use and not what Douglas gave me permission oh so many years ago for, which is the longer version and had a little recap, a little line at the end after the outro music and all that. But and I was wrong also, by the way. This one was the Deep Thought episode. And Magrathea, I think, would have been the previous one. Ah, well, it's been too many years since I listened to them in order. I probably should do that again, and so should you. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which did, in fact, leave us with a few minutes for outro. Well, I've 90 seconds left, but we did get another pledge, and I would very much like to thank Efrain. Now, I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Aviles, A-V-I-L-E-S, says I can say his name on the air. And so I am doing that. And he pledged in the name of all WBAI shows. And that's a lovely thing. Thank you very much for your pledge. So we got one pledge from Brooklyn, one from Amsterdam Avenue in Manhattan. It's still not too late for you to call and make a pledge from your preferred location, no doubt. Well, it can be anywhere in life, the universe, and everything. You know, had I figured it out, why not pledge $42, right? That's the answer. That's the answer to life, the universe, and everything. It's a good way to go. You can pledge to WBAI at 516-620-3602. I suspect pretty well that I will not be on the air next week. It's a fundraising week, and as is this week, and I tend not to be on that often during the fund drives. This has been one of those occasions, and I do thank you for listening and being there, and to those people who pledged this time and 2 weeks ago as well. And not much to say beyond that other than join us at the New York Review of Science Fiction readings on June 7th here at 388 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. Really easy to get to. For more information, check out the NYRSF readings group on Facebook. For that matter, go to the Hour of the Wolf group on Facebook as well. And thank you all for listening. I should be back, I guess, second Wednesday in June, if we're back to schedule, and one certainly hopes we are. And whether we are or not, well, that is indeed largely up to you, whether, you know, assuming that you pledge and support the station. We go out with Sails of Silver from Steel Eyes Band. Thank you, Max Schmid, for those extra offers of spiffy premiums. Orson Welles can't do better. And In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash, that's the one I choose. Okay, have a great morning. Please, everybody, be good to each other. They deserve it, so do you. Good day. Commercial Pacifica Radio in New York City, WBAI, broadcasting at 99.5 FM, and, of course, WBAI.org. The preceding program is brought to you live with portions on recording. Welcome. Welcome to Science, Health, and Healing. This is a special fun drive program, extended program. We are here for 2 hours. The theme today is health is a human right. Health is a civil right. When we talk about access to every citizen to acute health care, yes, sometimes we need to go to the street and sometimes to the Hall of Congress, and sometimes to newspapers to be heard. That is a societal obligation that the society has to each single individual.
when we talk about disease prevention and reversal of chronic disease, this is not a human right or a civil right we can get by going to the street or the streets of hallways of Congress, White House, any place else. Disease prevention and reversal of chronic disease requires a different form of vocabulary, a different form of literacy, different language altogether, different way of communicating, above all, with ourselves, above all, with the individual in the mirror. Now, I would challenge anyone who says that any doctor can help a person prevent disease or reverse disease. That's an illusion. The only person who can do that is that true, authentic teacher that you find in your reflection in your mirror. You can find this truth the easy way, or you can find it the hard way. First and foremost, we must have an honest, intelligent conversation with ourselves. Because you cannot have an honest, authentic conversation with anyone else when it comes to inner equilibrium. You cannot have an honest conversation when it talks about, you'd want to talk about how to open your heart, open your arteries, open your mind, open your kidneys, open your intestinal tract, allow your body to breathe its own air. No. There is no leader out there, political or civic. There's no philosopher out there. There's no nutritionist out there. There's no doctor out there. There's no surgeon out there. There is no one out there. You can learn it the easy way. You can learn it the hard way. Our community suffers from just one disease. I would say more than 95%. But it has different faces. Those who profit from disease literacy, whether on television or radio or the New York Times, or those who control your doctor's behavior, they do not profit from healing literacy. And so it is that you do not hear the voice of healing literacy from any other source except, of course, WBI. This voice of truth, this culture of courage, this child of yours who right now is under stress, existentialist stress. You make up your mind. I will keep repeating, you can learn it the hard way or you can learn it the easy way. Health cannot be bought nor sold as a product. You know, in some ways it's very easy. Go on the streets and have a wonderful some sign of some kind. Find yourself before a microphone, a newspaper, and you get the adrenaline high, and there are other people. There is music and there are special dresses, and some people have funny hair, and some people find it very glorious. That's the easy part. But that will not heal you. That will not help you prevent disease. Those are temporary highs, and there is a time and a place for it. But healing comes from deep inner reflection. Excuse me. Healing, as I said, is a human right. Healthcare is a human right. Healthcare is a civil right. But if we don't learn the distinction between the requirements of acute illness, for which we do need great hospitals, great doctors, great nurses, great technologists, great laboratory people, and the much tougher path inner reflection, conversations with yourself. You cannot converse with yourself unless you have healing vocabulary. You cannot converse yourself unless you have healing literacy. What is literacy? Literacy is ability to read, write, and think about what is read and written. Just ask yourself, how often have you looked into the mirror or your reflection in a pond and tried to engage yourself in a conversation? What kind of a healing language do you have? What kind of healing vocabulary do you have? We need vocabulary to learn, to understand, to communicate, to grow, to become enlightened. That's fundamental. You need vocabulary of physics if you want to be a physicist. You need vocabulary of music if you want to be a musicologist. And so it is that we need a vocabulary of healing if we want to be healers for ourselves. Now, I'm not asking you to become healers for other people. I have grave reservations about that. So we are here for 2 hours. I want to welcome Professor Dr. Janet Coleman to Science, Health, and Healing.
Hi there, Dr. Ellie and listeners. Thank you for expanding my title to...
So tell us,
nurse on up.
How are we going to, you and I, and Tony's in the studio with us?
Well,
how are we going to meet our obligation to WBI? We have these 2 hours. This is a precious time. So tell us how we're going to meet it.
You are talking about a radio station that is in a period of existential stress, and you referred to it as our baby. It is really our communal baby. And in order for it to... loosen its arteries, as it were, we still need your support. We need it more than ever, and we need infusion of capital. We need money, and we need the principle of WBAI, the listener-supported radio, is that we will present information that you can't receive anywhere else, or that we will put to you information that is... uncensored, unfettered, and that you will respond with your support because you can't get this kind of thing anywhere else. And you can't, even in the current condition we are in, which is somewhat broken, as if a meat cleaver had hacked us in two, half of us downtown, half of us uptown. But we are asking you to support us so that we can stitch it up. Dr. Ellie always says that there are methods for serious hospitalization and there are methods for internal...
Avoiding the hospital.
Avoiding the hospital. So what we need here is that we need a bit of open arteries. We need a little cleansing. We need some reflection and meditation. And we need you to do all of those things, reflect and meditate on us, and bring your support to us. We're offering today, the number to call, by the way, is 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. We're offering Dr. Ali's course on healing for $95. And this is a little different format from what we've ever offered before, really, and really very, very easy to access. It's a 5-video seminar of topics that range from 30 to 45 minutes long. They are the top 7 natural remedies, one on inflammation, one on fermentation, its causes and disease, one on Dr. Ali's breakfast. That's a famous one, and he talks all about the ingredients of this breakfast and what it'll do for you and how starting your day with the Dr. Ali breakfast really will begin to change your patterns of creating disease patterns for yourself. And also another on healing oil rubs. So the number to call here is 516-620-3602. What you really need to do is call up, ask for Dr. Ali's course on healing. Pledge your support for $95. We hope that you can do it on a credit card. If not, you can do it by check or money order anyway. You make arrangements with the call center. But leave your email. Leave your email so that we can email you back with a link to the video seminars. I mean, to me, this is a very original and easy way. You know you will get it. This way, there's no packing, no mailing, no shipping, no problem. Oh, with the delays or post office, you'll get them immediately upon payment. So once more, 516-620-3602. Dr. Ellie, this is a really new concept, isn't it, for how to deliver information from you to the listener.
I think
you spent some time cooking
think,
it up, didn't
Janet,
you?
There will always be people who will love written word.
Mm-hmm.
I think the world has moved on. We can argue the case for or against it, but the world has moved on. I think the communications in the future is going to be with images. And yes, sometimes images do require a voiceover to explain things, to pull out the meaning behind the images. Mm-hmm. It's a different world. But among our listeners are going to be people who are very uncomfortable with the word computer.
Mm-hmm.
They rightfully feel